Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and I want to thank you for tuning in and joining us for another CCTA Wake Up Call. Today, we're going to be talking about House Bill 264, North Carolina legislation known as the Emergency Powers Accountability Act, and it passed on the House floor yesterday, and CCTA had a great deal of input with that, traveling to Raleigh, visiting a lot of the legislators, and we'll let Rayner give us an update on that a little bit later. But we're going to be talking to Representative Keith Kidwell, who was the primary sponsor on this bill, and he's going to be with us in just a few moments. But today we have Bob and Mary Griswold in the studio.
Hello.
Pete Benton.
Good evening.
Hal James.
Hey there.
Rayner James.
Hey.
And Doug Gould. And everybody's ready to get going on this. But before we do, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Then we'll come right back and we'll let you listen to Keith Kidwell.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. As I said, we're going to be talking about the House Bill 264, the Emergency Powers Accountability Act, that passed on the House floor yesterday. And this bill would require the governor to seek the approval from a majority of the Council of State, which includes 10 senior executive offices of the North Carolina government, for any statewide emergency declaration expected to last longer than 30 days. The bill's sponsor and House Majority Leader John Bell said in a press release that the 69 to 50 vote that the legislation is not about politics. It's about clarifying the law to restore accountability and to ensure stronger bipartisan input. And the governor was never intended to have such absolute authority, especially for an unlimited time, Bell said. The bill's lead sponsor, Representative Keith Kidwell, which is on the line with us today, said Wednesday that the legislation came in direct response to Cooper's executive action surrounding the pandemic, adding that no one person should have such sweeping and unilateral authority to shut down our state. So before we get to Representative Kidwell, I'm going to play a little exchange between him and Representative from Guilford County, Representative Quick.
The Council of State's responsibility is to help the governor in dealing with issues of this magnitude. In a republic, no single person should, according to our constitutions, no single person should be responsible, nor would I think any single person would want to be held to that level of responsibility. What this bill seeks to do is to give that aid and assistance to the governor, because when making decisions of this size, of this impact, on our state, we need the advice of the education. We need the advice of ag. We need the advice of transportation. We need the advice of as many people as we can possibly put up there to properly handle pandemics. This was just a word we saw on TV in the past. We all watched the movie years ago. I think it was 20 years ago, the movie Pandemic. We were all like, yeah, that'll never happen. You know, we got way too smart a scientist for that, but yet here we are. And I do recall in those movies, they always had every possible person who had any awareness or intelligence at all related to the matter helping them. And that is what this bill seeks to do. I appreciate your support on the bill. I'll stand for any questions.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, rise?
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Does the gentleman yield to a question?
Certainly, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Kidwell. If I read the bill correctly, if this bill passes and becomes law, the governor would have to go to the Council of State within 7 days, and then in subsequent 30-day increments, go back to the Council of State and seek majority approval for continuing the state of emergency declarations.
You do read that correctly.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, may I speak to the bill?
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Unfortunately, this is not a movie. This is real life. This is a global pandemic. It is not Governor Cooper or any other governor waking up one morning and deciding that they want power. It is a response to a pandemic that hit the whole world in March of last year, and probably even before that. The governor, for 8 months before his reelection, laid forth his course of action. The governor gave the voters the idea of the how he was would handle this pandemic, and in November the governor was reelected by not all of the people but the majority of the people, partly because of the way he handled the pandemic. A choice was even made in the election of governor in North Carolina: is we would stay the course of our current governor, or we would elect another person who wanted a very different course. I regret that we think the response to this, or some of us think that the response to a global pandemic, is to strip the powers of a person whose crown none of us would probably want to wear in this current environment. I don't think the governor relishes the fact that he has to be the governor in a pandemic, and I think he's doing the best that he knows to do. To have to go to the Council of State within 7 days and then every 30 days just doesn't make sense in a lot of different ways. So what if 30 days after people begin to change their mind politically? And unfortunately, we all know that this pandemic has become a political football on several sides. So I would vote against this bill, ask you to vote against this bill, because despite what we know, even a year later, the New York Times reports that several countries in Europe are going back to more restrictive actions because opening up or allowing different things to happen has not worked. This is not the time to strip the governor of any power. This is a time to band together as North Carolinians because we are not out of the woods yet.
Well, Brother Kidwell, would you like to comment on the governor's crown?
Well, you know, I find that quite interesting, gentlemen, that Representative Quick believes our governor wears a crown. I think that's a big portion of what is wrong with the entire Democratic thought process. There is nobody in this country. Let's go back to our Constitution. There are no titles of royalty permitted in this country. And evidently, Representative Quick has now coronated the governor. I'm almost never at a loss for words, but here I am. I mean, just, I could not believe when that man said that on the floor of the House of Representatives. I'm dumbfounded. You know, it's just amazing that Democrats think the governor has a crown. But, you know, we're not seeking to strip power from the governor. We're seeking to have our governor abide by a republic, a constitutional republic constitution, okay, where by a very deliberate process, the governor does not have but a very limited set of powers, and that power is not to make law. The governor's job is to enforce the laws that are made by the General Assembly, the people elected to represent the people of this state, and to make the law. So, you know, I think Representative Quick needs to go back and take his civics lessons. And if he wanted to stop by my office, I'd be glad to provide him a U.S. Constitution as well as the North Carolina Constitution. Got plenty of them there for him. So.
I know you do. I've seen them there. And, you know, the funny thing to me is how these Democrats continuously want to accuse the Republicans of trying to take power away. And it's power that they didn't even have in the first place. Now, if I'm not right, you can correct me, but isn't it already a requirement for the governor to confer with the Council of State?
Hear, hear.
So in the Emergency Powers Act 166A19, it says in the very first part of that, that if the governor is going to declare a state of emergency, that he has to seek the Council of State. Now, let's take a look at a couple of things. One, when this first started, when COVID first started, the governor initially went to the Council of State and asked for an emergency declaration. And when he got resistance, he said, okay, I'm just going to go it alone. Now, I'm going to get to how he did that in just a minute. Now, most interestingly, y'all may remember about 10 days ago, there was a pretty good threat, they thought, of tornadoes hitting North Carolina.
Yes.
And the governor, if you'll remember, issued an emergency declaration. Now, here's the point. He went and asked the Council of State. He asked for the concurrence of the Council of State. So the governor knew it. He showed us that before. The governor still knows it because now a year later, he's shown us almost a year to the date. He showed us again that he understands that the Council of State is supposed to have input on this. Now, how did he loophole that? Well, in 166A19, I think subparagraph 30, it says if the county cannot handle an emergency, that it would rise to the level where the governor would handle it. The governor interpreted that to mean he gets total control of everything in an emergency. Unfortunately, when Lieutenant Governor sued him, that we lost it in court, and it was never appealed. Now, why we didn't get an appeal filed by our Lieutenant Governor, I don't know. But it never did have the appeal filed. I think we probably could have won. Because the law is pretty clear on that. So that's part of the problem is that, one, the governor knew that he should have, the governor still knows, and then the courts misinterpreted the law that was written. So what we're seeking to do with House Bill 264 is to clarify this law so that everybody can understand it. Here's what I can tell you. I've been in the tax business, as you guys know, for just about all my life. And one of the things we've learned through my company is if you want to have something where people can understand it, break it down to eighth grade level so an eighth grader can understand it. And particularly since I've seen with the Democrats not understanding the Constitution and thinking we have royalty in North Carolina, with the governor not able to read the general statutes, This bill breaks it down to eighth grade language so everybody can understand it.
Point of order here on that. One thing, when you said Lieutenant Governor, you were referring to the previous Lieutenant Governor, correct?
That's correct, because I believe our current Lieutenant Governor would not stand for this for a second.
Absolutely, I agree. Hal, you had?
I think you pretty well covered it right there.
All right.
You know, just a quick question. I realize that the current king or governor or whatever you want to call him has taken on this duty of individually managing the whole emergency situation. Who has been managing his regular job?
Well, I don't know what his regular job is, because if his governorship is the regular job, he's not been doing a very good job, in my opinion.
I would agree.
Our economy... Our economy is destroyed. Our children have lost an entire year of education. Our schools have not been in session for nearly a year. And interestingly enough, let's talk a moment about the schools. We put forth legislation to bring the schools back, and the governor vetoed that bill. Okay. Then the CDC came out just a couple days after he vetoed that bill and said kids can go back to school. They said what our bill said in it. So we started running local bills that the governor's signature is not required on, so I didn't have to worry about that. So I got together through the Freedom Caucus with a bunch of the representatives, and we started looking at running local bills for all the counties. And we can put 15 of them on a local bill, run it, House passes it, Senate passes it, don't need the governor's signature, it becomes law. When the governor saw we were doing that, then the CDC came out with their thing. All of a sudden, the governor said, oh, we'll open the schools now. Now, here's the interesting part. We sent back new legislation to do that. Here's what the governor asked for us to do. The only thing that changed between the original bill and the rewrite was we went from the schools have to open in 15 days to the schools have to open in 21 days. So that's what he got. His whole veto this bill got him 7 extra days. I mean, seriously, governor, you call that doing your job? I call it wasting the taxpayers' time and money and not caring about the education of our children and the mental stability of our children. Let's talk about that a minute. Look at the number of children that are suffering depression. Look at the child suicide rate in this country since we've shut the schools down due to COVID. Now, don't you think maybe we should have had, in addition to the governor and Mandy Cohen, don't you think it might have been a good idea to have the superintendent of public instruction weigh in on this and tell us what their thoughts were and how these children should be handled, and maybe part of their staff to say, look, we know what this is doing to children. You know, don't you think that, and let's call it the way it really should be, the General Assembly has 170 people from every walk of life you can imagine. We have physicians, psychiatrists, tax people, transportation, farmers. All of these people have expertise that could weigh in on what's the best way to handle this. And it's like I said in the floor speech, when you look at what's done in just the movies, the governor could have just looked at that movie Pandemic and found a better way. And I know that was fiction, but he could have found a better way to do what he did. Let's right. call up the best scientists on this stuff and get them. No, who's he call? Mandy Cohen. Hasn't practiced medicine in, I understand, 20 years?
All right.
I don't know, guys. I'd want somebody more experienced than that.
Well, all those representatives you spoke about, different occupations and all, were elected to represent us, the people. And since they've coronated the governor or king, I guess we don't need them anymore.
Keith, considering the status of education.
And, if you look at the Council of State, one of the arguments the Democrats put forth yesterday is the governor is elected statewide to represent the people. Well, the last time I checked, guys, the Council of State, every one of them, the auditor, the treasurer, the superintendent of public instruction, the lieutenant governor, are all also statewide elected officials. And they're elected. What is their title? The Council of State. What does council mean?
To advise.
We're going to counsel with each other. We're going to advise other people on how things are done.
Keith, considering the condition of education and public education, I mean, in schools today, I think maybe you should redirect your efforts to make your bills understood by about a fourth grader.
Are you trying to say something about our governor, Al?
How'd you know it was me?
Well, Keith, congratulations on the victory on the House floor. Do you have a date and time for us on the when it hits the Senate?
It already has.
It's there.
Oh, it already is? Okay.
So it actually, it's in the Senate right now. It actually, Senate, and very wisely, I think, has moved it directly to rules, which I don't know exactly all their process. I think that means it's going to get fast-tracked. I hope that is the case. And here's what I need to see. Here's what the people in North Carolina need to see. We have to motivate every person who is sick and tired of a governor running this place like he's a king, okay? And we need to turn them out on emails, phone calls, and best effort, go to Raleigh, talk to your senators, talk to your representatives. We're off next week. Don't go up next week. Go up the week after and start walking the halls and talking to these people and put pressure on them to make sure they understand that the people of North Carolina want their power back, because this isn't the General Assembly's power. This isn't the governor's power. This is the people's power. We are a constitutional republic. We have the power. We need to get out and exercise it. That's what folks need to work on.
Right. Well, you know, CCTA had a group of people up at the House yesterday.
Wednesday, Tuesday, too.
Yeah, a couple of times. And some other grassroots groups had people up talking to the individual representatives. I think Rainer and Hal hit every office.
In the House office building. And Linda Harper and a couple of people with her went to all the representatives in the legislative building. So between the two groups, we hit the office of every single representative before general session. Yesterday.
And Rainer had prepared a handout that everybody was using.
Right. And those of us that couldn't be there made phone calls and sent emails. Now, what impact do you feel like the grassroots efforts like that really has?
Well, I think it's going to put them on notice. And I think that they're going to have to stand up and pay attention, particularly now that we have the evidence that the Democrats don't understand that we're a constitutional republic and not a monarchy. And here's what I'm going to suggest. I know that this feed that you're doing, your station gets out mainly to the 3rd Congressional District. So I want the people of the 3rd Congressional District to pay attention. There are 17 counties in the 3rd Congressional District. If every county would send up a delegation once a month to the North Carolina General Assembly, you would have somebody from the grassroots visiting the General Assembly to render opinion, to do what your Constitution says you should do and redress your grievances with your government, okay? You'd have someone up there every day that we're in voting session, okay? Right. Now, if we started adding in groups like CCTA and maybe other grassroots groups up there, you could cover virtually 5 days a week with very little effort from any individual person. Just each group, each county, one day a month. Think about this, 100 counties in North Carolina. If each county sent one group up there, they wouldn't have to go up once every few months. And here's the bad part. I appreciate you all were up there. I love that the CCTA showed up. I love some people from the Republican Party showed up. There's a couple of people from other counties. I had people in there today from Wake and Durham that came up because I asked them to. Ladies and gentlemen, get up there, okay? All across this state, we need to let the Democrats know when the governor vetoes this bill, we're going to come out and we're going to work against you. We're going to target people. And this guy touches on the 3rd Congressional District. Let's talk about Mr. Farkas, Representative Farkas, who our Republican Perrin Jones lost to by 868 votes. Representative Farkas, you're going to need every one of those votes and more, because we're going to motivate the people. If you don't vote to override the governor's veto, Representative Kidwell will personally, as I did last time, but with more effort this time, will personally come here and campaign for the Republican candidate in Pitt County to make sure that Representative Farkas loses if he doesn't help to override the veto. This is not a monarchy. It's a constitutional republic. That's what we have to do.
I agree. And correct you on one thing. Well, it's not a correction, actually, to add to your statement. We are on 107.1 here, and we cover mostly the 3rd District. But our shows are also archived on our website, cctaxpayers.com, and that covers the whole world, World Wide Web. So, people, you can always refer people to that link, and they can come there and listen to any and all of our shows. All right, we're going to take a real quick break here, Keith, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, again, our guest speaker today is Representative Keith Kidwell, and we've been talking about the House Bill 264 that has passed the House, is now in the Senate, and going to rules, and we'll soon see it on the Senate floor for a vote. And as Representative Kidwell said, folks, it's time for you to get busy and get up and stand up and take action. Let them hear from you any way you can. Email, phone, in person, handwritten mail, whatever. Rainer?
Actually, we don't have to wait for it to get to the Senate floor. If you go on the General Assembly website, you can find that committee, that's under the standing committees of the Senate. Click on it. You can get to where it identifies every member and the officers of the committee. You can go to their contact information so we can call, write, go to see members of that committee and ask them to please hear the bill, hear it favorably, and get it to the Senate floor.
There you go, folks. You can go ahead and get to work now. Now, Keith, congratulations again on the victory there. Tell us about some other bills that are upcoming that we can go ahead and prepare to get to work on.
Well, so we put forth yesterday a pro-life bill, and I'm sorry I'm driving right now, so I can't give you the bill number, but I was a co-sponsor on that. Representative McElrath and Senator Krawick were primaries on this bill, and it is a no selective abortion due to race or Down syndrome. So that's something you would think would already be law, but it is not, and we're seeking to do that. The other thing that I've just put in today, I've jokingly referred to it as the You're Too Stupid bill. I think you all may have heard me talk about this previously. You know, if you're a person who is in charge of opening an election polling place and you can't get to work on time to open the polls for a presidential election, you probably should not be working in the election process. If you're a person who forgets a box of ballots in your car until 10:30 at night, you should probably not be working in the election process. And, you know, I could go on and on. So what this bill does is it says if you fail to use due care and diligence, I'm not trying to put somebody in jail. I'm not trying to cause anybody any criminal record, misdemeanor, or felony. Here's what I'm saying. If you can't figure out how to do the job of working in the election process, just like I would do if you worked for me at my company, I would fire you permanently. And I believe that's what we should have the ability to do under the law in the state of North Carolina. If you can't figure out how to get a box of ballots out of the trunk of your car and bring them in so they can be counted appropriately, then you shouldn't be working in the election process. So that bill just went in, I believe it was yesterday, early the week after Easter week. I will be filing a bill that's the Born Alive Abortion Survivor Act. We ran that bill last session. I believe we might actually be able to get the support for a veto override, so we're looking forward to doing that. I've got several pieces of gun legislation that's coming up. I've got the Constitutional Carry Act, which is basically going to allow constitutional carry in the state of North Carolina. It does not do away with the pistol or the concealed carry permit. What it does is it says that's optional. You can carry without having a concealed carry permit. This doesn't change how you buy a gun. It just changes the fact you don't have to have a permit in North Carolina. Now, I believe there's 17 states that have some form of constitutional carry right now. Okay? And that's what I'm looking for us to do. We're going to keep the concealed carry permit because if you go to Virginia, if you don't have a North Carolina permit, you're not going to be able to carry in Virginia or Kentucky or Tennessee.
Right.
So we want to still have that there for the people who travel. But for folks that just want to stay home, they don't have to have a concealed carry permit if they're just going to be in North Carolina. So these are I'm honestly, and I have a hard time enumerating because I've either primaried or co-sponsored, I think, 117 pieces of legislation.
Wow.
And virtually every one of those is addressing some sort of freedom. Now, one, and this is probably one of my most proud pieces that I've done. This was filed yesterday. It's called the Jeff Reig Law, Religious Freedom. And what that does, I'm going to see if I can pull it up here. What that bill does is very short, sweet, to the point. It says that hospitals cannot prevent clergy from entering the hospital, even during a pandemic. I've actually had three occasions during this pandemic where hospitals tried to prevent the entry of clergy, in two cases, going in to pray with or for the family while they were disconnecting life support on a family member. Now, can you imagine? You all know me. Can you imagine what things might look like in the event that somebody tried to prevent me from accessing my spouse if she were in the hospital?
Oh,
heck of water buffalo.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
So what we're also going to look at, the Senate, my understanding is going to run a bill that addresses this from the position of the family. My bill is specifically targeted to clergy, okay?
Right.
And that's House Bill 447. And the person it's named after, the Jeff Reig Law, I was contacted by his family. He had been hit by a car in a very weird accident and in front of his house, and ended up with a brain bleed. And because he was on warfarin, he ended up having a bleed that killed him. And they wouldn't let the pastor and the family in to go in and administer, you know, the final prayers and say goodbye to him. So I spent 6 hours on the telephone with the hospital and representatives and all the way up to Congressman Murphy's office, trying to get the family and the clergy access to the patient. Finally was successful. And unfortunately, then I had one in a nursing home later on where a Catholic priest called me and told me about it. And he said, well, look, I've left a message with the executive director and told her that if she didn't let me in within 2 hours, I was going to call you. And he just wanted to let me know that he had kind of used my name. I said, well, that's fine. You can do that. He called me back about 30 minutes later. He said, Representative, you're not going to have to do anything because the executive director of the home called up and said, we're going to let you in. Just please don't call Representative Kidd. don't put him on us.
That's okay? Good. That's good.
Yeah.
Those are all
so
good.
These are the types of bills that I'm running to make sure. Another one that I've co-sponsored is a notary public for non-citizens so that non-citizens can't be a notary public. I've put onto that bill. And I mean, like Rainer was saying a minute ago, go to the website, tap on my name, look at introduced legislation, and you can go down and find every bill that I've done. And this is all either rectifying financial problems, a lot of constitutional issues that I'm dealing with, and the rights of the people, because to me, that's why you sent me to Raleigh.
Right. Those are all good pieces of legislation. And Hal is the chairman of our watchdog committee, and I think he's going to give you an A-plus on performance there. So, yeah, I want to jump back to the You're Too Stupid Bill thing real quick. Is there a clause? Is there a clause in there that makes that retroactive? If not, there should be.
That's probably a good idea.
And a related question.
Probably a real.
Keith.
Yeah.
And a related question, is there anything there on election integrity?
Yeah, so also in one of the bills I've already introduced, I'm looking to deal with our equipment that's used. So my bill would have that all election equipment that we use in North Carolina must be manufactured in the United States by United States companies with United States software and without the ability to be connected to the Internet. Okay.
Thank you.
Sounds good.
So that bill is already filed. There's also, I know that the Elections Committee, I've been working very closely with them. As you all know, I'm also the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, and we've been bringing our concerns to every committee in the General Assembly and letting them know what the concerns of the people are with an eye on freedom. And freedom encompasses how we do our election process, because let's not forget, and I don't remember the exact quote, I believe it was Thomas Jefferson, said that when people get the sense that they can no longer rely on the ballot box, they're going to resort to their ammo box. And I don't want us to get to that point.
Right. Well said, okay? Whoever said it.
Yeah.
I want to thank you very much. I don't want to see that happen.
All right, Rick. Keith, we're here at CCTA. You know we're all proud of you and happy that we have you to represent us and that we can go right to you with many, many more problems. One thing that made me proud of CCTA the other day on Tuesday was that Bob Griswold was able to speak to that rules committee. And I think he did a wonderful job of it. And I want to call everybody's attention to that and ask Bob if he can remember any of what he had to say.
Well, I think I just wanted to understand that in private industry, companies have a board of directors, they have a chief executive officer, and they have senior executives. And when the chief executive officer needs help, he goes to everybody around him. I look at us, first off, in the government industry, okay? First off, we have the voter is the ultimate board of directors. And we have a chief executive officer now, and he's got senior
staff that actually happens to be elected by the board of directors, us.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to take advantage of that, just as you would do in private industry. Private industry does it for success. We want to do it for success.
Good analogy.
I'd like to add the same thing is true in the military world.
Bob, that's excellent.
Excuse me.
Here's what I want to point out. A lot of years ago, I was in college, a long time back. And my college professor in business management told me the following definition of the word manager. This is what he taught us. The definition of a word manager is getting work done through other people. Okay? Now, if we go back to Ronald Reagan, I think we can all agree he was a good man, but was he necessarily the smartest man to ever be elected president? No. What Ronald Reagan's success was is he surrounded himself with excellent people as advisors. And that's what makes a successful manager. Somebody who surrounds themselves with good people, takes their counsel and listens to their counsel, and then uses good people to accomplish what needs to be done. And that is what our governor has absolutely failed at. He has totally relied on himself and Mandy Cohen, who Mandy many times has contradicted what the CDC has said. Matter of fact, she's even contradicted what Fauci had said. So you know, I have a lot of concern about that. So, you know, and we really don't know what's right and what's wrong in this, people. Let's be honest. There were so many things we were facing. It's scary. I get that. But if it were, and don't take this as any indication, but if it were a Governor Kidwell, I would have sat down with every person I had access to, and I would have heard and understood what potential problems, what potential resolutions we would have, and how we could least impact people's freedoms and accomplish the goal of making them safe within the boundaries of freedom.
Bravo.
Sounds yes. Right. Okay, well, Keith, we sure do appreciate you joining us today and sharing your time with us. And again, kudos for a job well done. We do appreciate everything you do, and we hope to have you back on the show real soon.
Appreciate it. Y'all have a great day, and I'll talk to you again.
All right.
Very good. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
You know how you feel when your hair looks great? Why not have that feeling regularly? You can if you let Kristen Toller be your secret weapon. Kristen is one half of the dynamic duo at Creative Hair by Patsy. They cut hair for both men and women, and they understand that one style does not fit all. Each person has some styles that look great, while others would be not so great. And as for the question to color or not to color, only you can answer that. But if you decide you want the lift a bit of color can add, you're in good hands with Kristen. She's great with color. So go ahead, give Kristen a call at 252-636-5741 and book an appointment. That's 636-5741. You know you want to do it.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Oh, I hope you enjoyed the first part of the show with Representative Keith Kidwell. He's really got some good bills going on protecting life. That's one that's right up there at the top of the list. You can't get any more important legislation than that. And the gun rights bills that are coming out. I tell you what, he's doing a lot of good, hard work.
You could say life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
And right. And Larry Pittman, you know, I'm going to hate to see him gone, but he's done a very good job also.
He said he's not going to run again. Is that right?
Right. He's planning on coming back here, I believe.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, he's looking forward to coming back home. So, hey, yeah. Maybe we can get him in some local stuff around here.
Don't you know it?
Yeah. Okay, well, Mary, I think you had something going on in the U.S. House.
Yes, I wanted to mention that Nancy Pelosi tried to overturn an election in Iowa and unseat a representative, Marionette Miller Meeks, who had not only won a contested election, there was a recount, she won that, and she'd been sworn into the House.
And it was certified.
And it was certified. And Nancy Pelosi decided that she was going to remove her. Well, the person who, the Democrat in that race, Rita Hart, has conceded the race, finally. And that's the obvious story. I want to talk about the backstory. Because what I believe happened, and I'm looking at very circumstantial evidence, I have no inside information. There were a lot of Democrats, not a lot, but there were a number of Democrats who spoke out while this was going on that they thought it was a bad idea. And I think that when Nancy Pelosi realized she did not have the support of her caucus, she decided she'd better back off and probably put some pressure on the Democrat candidate to concede, which the candidate did. But the good news here is that the insanity is not necessarily going to be supported by the caucus. And that may give us some hope as we go through some of these ridiculous laws that are passing the House right now. Now, this is insanity in the House. This is not insanity in the Senate, so I can't speak for that. But evidently, some of the House members realize every House member is up for election in 2 years. And I think they realized if they wanted to remain in the House, they better not do some of this really extreme stuff.
I hope you are right. It sounds right.
So are you saying we need to get Nancy out of the House and put her in the doghouse?
I'm just saying. If, oh,
all right.
I'm just saying that in the normal course of events, we may see Nancy lose her speakership in another year.
Ooh. Oh, dear. Hey, Mary, be still my heart.
Aren't you on the 107.1 in the morning?
Yes, I'm Wednesdays. On Wednesday mornings now at 8:30 with Mike McHugh on Coastal Morning Daybreak.
Congratulations. That's wonderful.
Thank you. I do about a 15-minute spot and talk about articles that are up at Right Wing Granny. And we did talk about House Bill 264 this week.
Good,
good, good.
We tried to get you while we were driving to Raleigh.
Too far but away.
We had gotten to,
Yeah, you run out of the station when you get past Kinston.
That's exactly where we were. I was trying to think, but that's it. Yeah,
I've got my alarm on the cell phone set to let me know that you're about to come on.
Well, thank you.
There is an alternative, though. They are now live streaming again. I can't remember the platform. You'll have to go to their website, but they are live streaming. So when you're out of the radio broadcast range, you can always pull it up on your
phone.
And they also have a Jacksonville station, which I think is stronger. I'm not sure.
Right. That's 107.1 FM, the talk station, where we are proud to be hosted three times a week at least. Once on Saturday mornings at 6 a.m., twice on Sundays at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. And every now and then, when we're really special, they throw us in to fill in some other gaps.
Yeah. One of the things that I talked about some up at the General Assembly is that I often visit businesses and talk to business people. And one of the reasons I do that is so many of them are sponsors for our radio show. So
right.
It ties in so nicely to get out and visit business people.
And folks, please visit our sponsors and support them, because if you're a conservative and you like conservative talk radio and you listen to our show and appreciate our show, the only reason it's here is because these conservative business owners that support our platform are paying the bills for us. Mm-hmm. So support them, help them out all you can. And we would appreciate that, and I know they would appreciate
Absolutely.
That, too. Right. Well, on cctaxpayers.com, we have a legislative action page there, and you've got a new helper helping you to post information up there, Kathy
Rio.
Yeah, and so if you'll go there, cctaxpayers.com, click on the legislative action page, you'll get updates there on upcoming trips to Raleigh and other legislation.
There is one thing I want to mention. On April 13th, the Conservative Coalition of North Carolina and several of the member groups, CCTA being one of them, is having a legislative action day in Raleigh. And it has to do with Stop Hate in Classrooms, which is a code for or an allusion to critical race theory being taught in schools. And children have to be very carefully taught to hate, because that's not their natural inclination.
Right.
And we're headed in that direction and need to make a U-turn immediately.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
If anybody who listens to us would like to join us for that trip, that would be terrific.
And we'll be posting more information about that again on our website.
Absolutely.
All right. Pete, I know you've been working with Pastor Tom Kakadalis to work through the churches. Tell us a little bit more about that and how's that going?
Sure. Absolutely. I'm happy to do so. But let me just take a brief moment to ask everyone to please support. You've got the Traveling Vietnam Wall is coming the 8th through the 11th of April, and it's coming here to, it's coming to Carteret, Craven County. It's a wonderful opportunity. I know that Hal is a Vietnam vet. I'm a Vietnam vet. I'm very proud to have served our country. And I would ask each and every one to be mindful of the men and women who have given the last full measure of devotion for God and country. And I think it's a great opportunity to come out, because in less than a month we'll be celebrating Memorial Day, where we celebrate all the men and women who fought for this great country.
Right.
And it's going to be at the GOP headquarters in Havelock.
Yeah, correct.
We appreciate that. And all the people that have served our country, you know, if we could just do a fraction for our veterans of what we're doing for illegal immigrants, it would help them so much. The least we can do is show them our gratitude.
And for those that might not know where that headquarters is, it's next door to Ziggy's. Everybody knows where Ziggy's is.
It's a long shopping center plaza there.
Yeah. Pastor Tom Kakadalis will be here in for three dates in May. We're working together with a lot of local churches. And again, we believe that positive change for the future of this great country and for freedom and liberty is going to start with the churches. And as a community impact team volunteer, we come into the churches, we become a resource for the pastors, and we help them get people organized, get them registered to vote. We help educate voters on Rainer is doing. On key issues on both sides, but we present them with factual, impartial information so they can make wise and prudent decisions about those who govern over us in our country.
Good. I think you're in the on the right track there, putting God first.
Amen.
And using the church to help show how God wanted us to be involved in the political arena. I mean, it is biblical, it's scriptural, that God created government, and he expects us to participate in it. And when we sit back and do nothing, we get what we got now.
Yeah. And it's something interesting. I've been reading a lot of Bill Federer's work, Dr. Bill Federer, the Christian historian that we saw last year at the God and Country Christian Alliance. And a fascinating fact that a lot of people don't realize, of 39 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, do you know how many of them served in the Continental Army during the Revolutionary War?
I hate to say I don't.
29. 29 out of 39 men served God and country during one of the greatest conflicts in the history of this nation that launched, you know, the birth of this great nation.
Right.
So, again, a wonderful opportunity to honor the men and women who served our country. And then also, as I said, I believe there's a spiritual rebirth of faith and freedom in America.
Right.
But a quick one, though. When you say that they served, but they not only served, but they also set upon that signature their fortune and their lives.
Yes, they did.
All right. Well, like again, I said, you're on the right track, and we do need to get this spiritual awakening going and return back to Christ. I shared this post on Facebook today because, you know, a lot of what's wrong with today, with our morals and what's going on, is the words have been changed.
Yes.
The meaning of things have been changed. So I'm going to read this real quick. It's not an affair. It's adultery. It's not safe sex. It's fornication. It's not gay love. It's sodomy. It's not veneration. It's idolatry. It's not pro-choice. It's murder. It's not alcoholism. It's drunkenness. And it's not a fib. It's a lie. Those things in themselves that have been changed over the years, you need to get back to understanding what the true meaning of things are. Quit listening to the fibs. I'm sorry, the lies.
Somebody much smarter than I am once said, he who controls the vocabulary controls the argument.
Well, that's something our founding fathers and mothers, they read all the time.
Yes.
They didn't stay indoors in front of a computer or a tablet or whatever. They were outside. They enjoyed nature.
Absolutely.
And they were avid readers.
So, you know, you need to educate yourself. If you're relying on the media and the public school systems to educate you, you're in sad trouble. Well, that's all the time we've got for today's show. We're going to hope you'll come back and join us again next week because we're going to bring you some more of the same.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.